Welcome you all today. If you've just joined us, great you're here. We're back in the book of Acts. We were there this time last year, and we're back for another little section together. Let's pray that God would speak into our hearts through his word. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this amazing story that really happened that brought massive transformation to our world. Lord, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, Jesus said his people would be given power to spread the message of the gospel from Jerusalem and Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Here I've got a huge big marble run. This is the promise of God when the Spirit came, that the gospel, imagine this is the gospel, this little ball here, would spread from Jerusalem, Judea, here we go, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Fantastic, it did work. Well done, there you go. Keep that in your heads. And that was the promise that actually Jesus made. When the Spirit came, the gospel would spread. And actually this time last year, we saw that the gospel did spread throughout Jerusalem. And this next chunk, chapter 6 to 12, we're going to see the gospel going from Jerusalem, Judea to Samaria, beginning that journey in the next six chapters. And Jesus said, didn't he, to his people, that if you follow me, if you're my follower, it's not going to be very easy. People hated me, they will hate you. People suffered, I suffered, you will suffer. But I will be with you always to the end of the age. And we see that's what happened to this guy called Stephen. Stephen, there he is. What a great name for a person, Stephen. He was a keen being of a Christian man, and we heard about his tragic death at the end of that story. We're going to jump right back to the beginning of the story and look at how that happened. Stephen was a keen Christian. He loved and he followed Jesus. He was chosen to have a special job in the Jerusalem church to look after the widows and make sure they had food. He was full of God's grace, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of God. We see at the beginning of our passage that actually he's able to perform signs and wonders. And God gave him an amazing gift to be able to preach. He was a preacher. He was loved and he was precious in the local church. The problem was he had enemies. Just like Jesus had enemies, so Stephen had enemies. And they thought that Stephen was not good news, but bad news. There he was performing amazing miracles, and they didn't like it in the name of Jesus Christ. They did not like it. And they wanted to get rid of Stephen, just like they wanted to get rid of Jesus. Get him out of the way. And we see in this first little section, what happens is this, that Stephen is stitched up. He's stitched up. They tell lies about Stephen. His enemies drag him in front of Sanhedrin, chapter 6, verse 12. Now, boys and girls, you know what it's like. It's so easy, isn't it, to stir up trouble for your brothers and sisters, take a bit of a half-truth and then wind up them up and then get them in trouble with your mom or dad. I love doing that for my big brother. I love getting into trouble, to stitch him up, to stir things for him. Well, that's just what these people were doing, the enemies of Stephen. They took him to Sanhedrin, and they began to stir up trouble by telling things that were not true. They wanted to shut him up and shut him down. They say, verse 13 of chapter 6, this fellow Stephen never starts talking about this holy place. The holy place he's talking about is the temple. He never stops talking about this holy place, the temple, and he never stops talking against the law. They said Stephen speaks against the temple and the law. And of course, the Jews loved their temple. It was the place where they believed God dwelt, this holy place. And there is Stephen, they say, speaking against that. How outrageous. And they say that Stephen speaks against the law, the word of God, the first five books of the Bible, where that included the Ten Commandments. They say that Stephen is speaking against the temple and against this law. Well, it was a very clever thing to do. Two things that were most precious to the religious leaders at the day, the temple and God's law. And there they were in front of the Sanhedrin, just stirring things up. Stir, 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 to create trouble for Stephen, to get rid of him. Basically, they were saying he was speaking blasphemies against the temple and against God's word. But it wasn't true. Stephen would have been teaching that the temple was actually all about Jesus. And actually the way to God is not through a building, but through the person of Jesus Christ. That's why if you're watching from home, just because you're not here doesn't mean that Jesus isn't with you. He's not stuck in a box or a building. He also taught that the Old Testament law is all fulfilled in Jesus. It's all about him. It points to him. Every story whispers his name. Now, the truth is, he wasn't teaching against the temple and against the law. He was teaching they all are fulfilled in Jesus. Now, these religious leaders want to push him away. They want to push this teaching away. They cannot bear it. They make up lies about them, about him. So they say to him, chapter 7, verse 1, are these charges true? And Stephen replies with a mighty sermon. Chapter 7, the whole of chapter 7 is a mighty sermon. It says lots of things, but one big thing it says is that actually God has never been stuck in a building or a box. He is everywhere present with his people. There they are obsessing about the temple and making up slander about Stephen and Jesus and about this building. But Stephen says, hang on a minute. Remember your history. He says, think of your history. When Abraham was called, verse 2, and God spoke to him, was he in Jerusalem? Was he stuck in a temple? No. He was in a place, verse 2, called Mesopotamia. Sounds a bit like hippopotamus, doesn't it? Mesopotamia, in a place called Ur. That was not Jerusalem or the temple. No, he was still in Mesopotamia when God spoke to him. Then Joseph, he was a slave in Egypt. And lots of times in these verses, he says seven times the word Egypt, 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 and that God was there with Joseph, blessing and helping him. The point is that God is not stuck in Jerusalem in a box in his temple. He has always been with his people wherever they are. He says the same for Moses. There is Moses. After leaving Egypt, he's out in the wilderness. He's near Mount Sinai. And actually, God is present with him there. God speaks to him there. It is holy ground. He takes off his shoes and he trembles with fear. God appears to him in the burning bush. That's there in verse 31. Now, is that the temple? Is that in Jerusalem? No, it's not. The point is, you cannot keep God in a box or in a temple. That was just a symbol of his presence. No, God is present with his people wherever they are. Remember that word we learnt with Sarah last term, omnipresent? God is present everywhere. He's present with his people. He's great and mighty. You can't contain him. In fact, Stephen quotes Isaiah. He says in verse 49, heaven is my throne and the earth is God's footstool. God can put his feet on the earth. He's so mighty and big. That's the picture. He is everywhere. You cannot contain God. But the people listening are not impressed with what he's saying, especially when he speaks directly to them. In verses 51 to 53, you see the history of God's people is this, that God has been present with them always, but full of people who've rejected God's messengers, people like Moses, people like Abraham, people like the prophets who've been rejected in their words from God. Here they are making up lies about Stephen, saying that actually he's speaking against the word of God. He's saying, no, no, the truth is that you are rejecting the word of God. Your history is full of your people rejecting God's word. Verse 53, you have received the law that was given through angels, have not obeyed it. Well, that is quite a sermon, isn't it? It's quite a challenge to them. He calls them stiff-necked. They will not change their thinking. They will not move in their thoughts. They will not change their thoughts about Jesus. Or when he preaches that, they don't want to hear in verse 54. It sends him over the edge with what he sees in verse 55. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven. And what does he see in heaven? He sees the glory of God, heaven opening up. And who is there? It is the Son of Man. It is Jesus. He is there. He is the one with all of God's power and authority beside the throne of God. The one they rejected is in heaven. And that is too much for them to cope with. And what do? Well, Stephen is stoned. Stephen is stoned. Let's go back one. Can we go back one, Peter? To the picture, Stephen is stoned. Thank you very much. I'll take it. Stephen is stoned, verses 54 to 60. They drag him out of the city. They throw stones at him because they want to kill him. But as they throw stones, just notice how God gives him grace in his final moment. It's beautiful. It's moving. It's a tender picture. The Lord who made his face radiant in trial back in chapter 6, verse 15, is the Lord who is with Stephen in his suffering and his death, and he makes him just like Jesus when he dies. What does he pray? Verse 59, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knows he's heading for heaven. And then he says, verse 60, he falls to his knees and he cries out, Lord, do not hold them against him. Do not hold this against them. Like Jesus, he asked for God to forgive his enemies. Oh, that we would be praying that for those who oppose us. And verse 60 describes his death. When he said this, he fell asleep. See, death for the Christian is like falling asleep. You wake up with Jesus in paradise. How wonderful that is. What confidence and hope we can have in uncertain times. We're not promised an easy life or an easy end to our life. Stephen had a very painful end to his life. But we are promised that as we sleep in Christ, we'll be raised to be with him and to meet him. We'll wake up with Jesus. And of course, Stephen's death was a massive, massive loss. Come back next week to see how Stephen's death had an impact greater than he would ever imagine. God was at work in getting his gospel out because Stephen was killed. The gospel would go from Jerusalem to Samaria. We're going to see that next in the next chunk of the book. There's loads we could take away from the sermon today, from this passage. But what's one big thing we can hold on to for this week? Well, it's great news, isn't it? This wonderful news that's there throughout the whole sermon, that God is not stuck in a building, in a temple. You might be watching today from a nursing home, from your front room, from your garden. You're watching in church this service. The truth is that God is not stuck in this building. He is omnipresent. He is present with his people all over the world right now. That is a glorious truth for us during COVID. As we're split apart, the Lord is with us. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he is the temple. He is the place, the person in whom we can meet the living God. And by his spirit in us, he is with us wherever we go. That's the great news that Stephen proclaimed. Important news that Stephen's going to preach. He's preached for Philip in the next chapter as he goes off to share the gospel, for the guy from Ethiopia who takes the gospel back to Africa in the next chapter as it goes to the ends of the earth, the gospel that the Lord is present with his people wherever they go. And that's Jesus' promise to us in our mission, wherever we go, as we go out into the world, as we go out to work. Oh, it's going all funny now. Sorry, can I guess? I want to go to the last slide, Peter. My clicker's gone bonkers. This wonderful promise that Jesus gives to us. I am with you always. Isn't that great that Jesus goes with us wherever we go in our mission for him? I am with you always. Let me pray. Lord, this is an extraordinary story. How costly for the church in Jerusalem to lose Stephen, but we thank you that you used this death to bring life to many as the gospel spread. We'll see that next week. And thank you that in Stephen's sermon, as he's challenging all those listening about God being stuck in Jerusalem in a temple, he shows them that the Lord God has always been with his people wherever they are in history. And thank you for the wonderful promise of Jesus that he goes with us wherever we go, wherever we are. Thank you that Jesus says, I am with you always. Thank you that as we trust in Jesus, that is true for us this week. Amen.